Hello, and welcome to the Off Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances. I'll be your hostess. Hello, and welcome to episode 165, the Are You Ready to Dresden episode. When you go to my show notes to comment, as I'm sure you will find a link to Sherry D's blog, in which she gives lots of great information about the Dresden Plate Quilt Along. Yes, we have decided to do this. I am very slack about this kind of thing, so it's really all on Sherry D, but I will talk about it and I will show you pictures. I think Sherry D is talking about setting up a Flickr page. Now, I have to say, in one of the quilt diaries, I'm like, oh, I don't know, will anyone do this? But you know, Sherry D posted like last week about this. I am so slack. I'm behind. And people commented, said, yeah, I think I might want to do it. So, hey, maybe there's more Dresden plate love out there than I realize. Now, I am actually doing two Dresden plates. One, the traditional Dresden plate, is going to be 16 plates. I haven't constructed any full blocks, but I have constructed at this point, I think maybe seven traditional plates and one modern plate, because I'm going to do a second, much smaller quilt. I don't know how many blocks, maybe seven, maybe nine, more likely seven, I don't know, that I'm calling Modern Dresden. And it will be modern by dint of the fabrics used. I'm not doing anything wacky or wonky with the Dresden plate. I'm just using more modern fabrics because, you know, a girl can get a little tired of 1930s fabrics. I'm just saying, as much as I love them, I talk about it in the quilt diaries. I went to my guild meeting last night. I almost didn't because I was kind of tired. It's gotten very hot here. And you know, I don't complain about the weather, but 90 degrees in middle of May is excessive. We're going back down. We're going to have some storms come in later tonight and we'll get back down to the high upper 70s, which is fine. So I've not been sleeping well. And also, we always have a fan on in our room, like just a box fan, because we just cannot get our act together enough to get the ceiling fans that we want installed. And we should really get those. But you know, when you live with a man, especially the man, who's very manly, sometimes, first of all, he's got to get past the notion, which I don't think he particularly has in this case, but still he has to entertain the notion that maybe he could do it himself, which he does not have the time for, nor really when it comes to electronics and wiring, no expertise. So he doesn't really think he can, but he has to play around with that notion. Then you move on to the idea of another man coming into your territory and being more, well, manly, at least in terms of being able to install a ceiling fan. When you're married to a Southern Scots-Irishman, forget it. That takes a long time to be able to get past that notion of someone who, you know, might, you know, well, you know, be able to do something that you can't do, right? You got to work through that. And we have an electrician. He hasn't been here in ages, but he did come and I really liked him, but he's a little bit older. So then you also have the older kind of what you can't do your own wiring thing, which this guy was not thinking, but the man I think was probably thinking that's what the guy was. It's really complicated when you're married to a man in so many ways. But in good ways, too. You know, lots of good stuff. Everything's got its yin and yang. It's up and down, black and white, right? You take the manly with the goodly and you run with it. So, yes. So, we have a box fan. And our box fan just gave up the ghost the other day. And it's really, we've had it forever. So, it wasn't like, oh, we just bought this last year. I think we bought it 8 years ago. And one day I turned it on and it started. And it ran for 5 minutes and then just went, ooh, and stopped running. And it was gone. So I went and bought a new one. And you know what? It's like really loud. And so I keep waking up. So, yeah. Anyway, not sleeping great. So yesterday I was tired. And the man had to work because it's Monday. And he works Monday nights covering the state legislature, which meets Monday nights. And then, so. But you know what? I ended up going. And I'm glad I did. I always like seeing the quilts. It was actually kind of cool. They had, for the presentation, a bee that meets in Hillsboro, which isn't kind of the next town over from Durham. It's a small historical town. It's very cute. It's got a great historic district. And sometimes I think when the man and I downsize that we would look at Hillsborough very carefully, as much as we love Durham. But if we had the money to buy a really cute little historic home in Hillsborough, I'd be tempted to do it. But that's a little ways off. Anyway, it meets in the library at the Orange County Library in Hillsborough. And so they came and they presented and they showed stuff that they made and they were very funny and they've been meeting. It was actually a fairly large group. I think there was probably on stage, there might have been 15 women from the group. And so it was quite delightful. And then there was, usual guild stuff, and they really need someone to do publicity for them, and I should do it because I know how to do it. But part of me is like, do not volunteer to do anything, and part of me is like, it would help you get more involved with the guild if you did that. And so I'm pondering. I don't think it would be a huge job, to be quite frank. I don't think it would be. Anyway, it was fun to see Quilt Show and Tell. It's interesting. There's a way, I think, particularly right now, working with traditional blocks and working with the sampler, with Jay, that, you see the stuff, and particularly when people are doing Show and Tell, as well as when the Quilting Bee gals were showing their quilts, and they're like, oh, this is the so-and-so quilt. And to me, it was like, this is, no one had a disappearing nine patch, but it's these very popular quilt patterns that I'm, like, clueless about. But if you think about it, it's like I feel like the non-traditional quilts I've made, like the Big Star quilt, non-traditional quilt, and that's like a magazine pattern, but it wasn't one of these patterns that a lot of people do, or Swoon, or what have you. I feel so out of it, but I won't get into it. I mean, whenever I try to get like in the mix of things like that, I think I want to do the pattern that everyone else is doing. I never do. It's the same thing. Last year, last April, I went to Missouri for several days as part of a big kid lit thingamabob. I'm sure I talked about it on the podcast. And the best part was being with the other authors, who were just super cool and fun, and I made friends. And it was fun because they're all accomplished and so we gossiped a lot, which is really cool. They're all of the Society for Children's Books Writers and Illustrators, which I've never really done because it costs like $90 a year. And I don't really need that network. I think it's a great organization. If you are thinking, like, I'd really like to write a children's book, I would recommend you spend that money, because there's a lot of great resources, there's a lot of great networking that goes on, but I don't really use those resources. I don't need those networks. I'm just where I am in my career. But everybody was in it. I'm like, okay. And so I went home and full of good fellow feeling, and I signed up. And then, it was just, all it was really in the long run for me in the end, it was a tax write-off because I didn't do anything with it. Same with, I decided they all like Twitter, they all tweet, and, I should know, just like even with the Twilters, people I really love and are tweeting about stuff I'm really interested in. I don't really tweet, but I got on Twitter on my author account and friended all, followed all these people, so they would follow me, like all these teachers and librarians, and I don't tweet, so anyway, so I could say I'm gonna start doing popular patterns, and these patterns that they were showing, of course I don't remember the names, were great. The quilts are great. And what was neat is they did the Quilting Bee folks, they had several of them brought quilts from the same pattern, just to demonstrate how you can take the same pattern, give it to four or five different quilters, and make four or five quilts that look totally different, even though it's the same pattern. It was really cool. Anyway, I'm not going to do that. No, I just have to be me and weird. And Will's been telling me lately, he's like, you're kind of weird. I'm like, yeah, hon, you are too. Guess what? Bad luck. You got born to weird people. But for someone who's actually fairly normal, no major neuroses, fairly solid mental health, no physical disabilities, etc. I'm left-handed and INFJ. I really, as far as being just a regular suburban housewife, could not be weirder. So there you have it. Yeah, I never figure things out. Anyway, it was good to go to the guild meeting. I was glad that I did. I want to update you on my AQS situation, which is nowhere. For those of you, if this is your first time listening to the Off-Kilter Quilt, things you should know is that I'm a writer and I'm a children's book author, and that's how I make my living, which is very nice. But recently, in early March, I sent a proposal for a series of quilting novels to AQS, American Quilting Society, which of course puts out AQS magazine, but also has a part of their publishing arm is novels. Probably their most prolific novelist on their list is a woman named Anne Hazelwood. So I worked out a proposal. They wanted a really in-depth proposal. Like, they wanted two chapters from the first book. They wanted a series outline for the first three books, all kinds of stuff. Put it together, put it in. About a month ago, I got a letter from the director of publications saying, "We're accepting your proposal. Give me a call or email me and let's move forward." So I was very excited. So, and I got the letter on a Saturday. I called on Monday. As I was leaving a message on her voicemail, I realized that it was Quilt Week in Paducah, and I probably wasn't going to hear from her. And I even said that in the message. "You know what? I just realized I'm probably not going to hear from you this week. That's fine. Just would love to hear from you at your earliest possible convenience." Didn't hear anything for the rest of the week. I thought, well, that makes sense. So the following Monday, I sent a follow-up email just saying, "Hope you had a great week. Now, I'd love to hear from you." Nothing. Kept waiting, kept thinking, I'll get a call, I'll get an email, nothing. I guess a couple weeks ago, I sent a letter through the mail. Yes, snail mail. Just saying, trying to touch base with you, would love to hear from you, very eager to get started, etc., etc. Nothing. Followed that up with a phone call last Monday saying, or no, it was Wednesday, actually, I followed up with a phone call just saying, "Want, sent you a letter, following up on the letter, would love to hear from you." Nothing. So I've heard nothing. I don't know why. Maybe she listened to this podcast where I said, you know, I wasn't sure that I would follow through with AQS, and maybe she thought, to hell with you. But you would at least kind of professionally, if you made that decision, which would not be a wise decision, but you would say, "If you're not sure about us, we're not sure about you. Goodbye." Nothing. So today, I thought, what am I going to do? It's so futile. It feels weird. It feels like, I don't know. It feels like, I can't even say what it feels like. It's just odd. It feels like fiction. It feels like, you know, Kafka. That's what it feels like. It feels like Kafka. It's Kafka-esque to get this letter saying, yes, let's get to work, and then nothing. It's been a month now. So today I thought, all right, I'm not going to contact her anymore because it just feels too weird. She's heard from me. She's gotten the messages. I think she's fairly new in this position, but nonetheless, really? And there's part of me just thinks, let it go, because if this is how it's right now, you really don't want to work with these people if there's no communication. But as a last, this is my last thing, I looked up AQS publication staff, and there's a woman who is a designer, like a graphic designer for the magazine, but also for the books. And in fact, because I think there's so little editing done on the manuscripts, she would probably be the person that I worked with. So I emailed her, just 45 minutes ago, and just said, "Been trying to get in touch. Would love to hear something from somebody. Would love to know, you know, what's going on." I'll probably never hear from her either. And that will be, believe me, at that point, just going, wow. I really don't want to work with AQS Publishing. I'm already almost there. But maybe there's some, who knows, maybe there's just something that, there is an explanation for why I have not heard. But, so I don't quite know what to do next. We've got the recycling or the garbage coming down, so I'm going to pause a sec. But anyway, but I will just say, so that's the AQS story. And I'm going to pause until trash goes away. Okay, trash is leaving. And while I was paused, I actually got an email from the designer. And she said she is going forwarding my message to the production manager, a woman named Sarah Bazzoni. So she should be able to help me. Let's see if I hear back from her. So maybe I'm just trying to get... Obviously, I was told to get in touch with the publications director, but maybe... I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I don't know how the story is going to end. I will keep you informed. Oh, my goodness. The trash is now coming back. They've turned around and they're coming back. But you know what? I need to get to the gym. Erg! Okay, I'm going to pause. We just cannot do this with the trash. All right, they're gone. And I do want to say thanks to everyone for commenting. If you'd like to comment on this episode, and you know, I love comments. I love them. Okay, I just can't even... I'll edit that out or I won't. I'm having a brain buzz thing. All right, comment. Come over to theoffkilterquilt.wordpress.com or email me at F as in Francis, Dowell as in do well, fdowell@nc.rr.com. I love hearing from you. This reminds me, I got an email from Carol, and she was asking me about fabric because she just did some more Kona work, and she was like, I can't do the Kona anymore. And I don't think I mentioned this in the quilt diary, so let me say that I did order, what would you call it? A color card from American Made brand Cotton Solids. I have not, and I've received that. And I will say, just even the sample fabrics seem more solid than Kona. Not solid in color, but solid in construction. So I am going to order some fabric from them. And I will update you on how I like it. But if Jay likes it, I'm probably going to like it. So anyway, but Carol also told me, I didn't realize this, there is a part two. You know, I took a Laura Ingalls Wilder online course in the fall. I didn't finish it, but it was very interesting. I enjoyed it. And there's actually the second part of the course is now online. And I didn't know that. So thank you, Carol. And I want to thank Ruth, who sent me some fabulous old, like 1973, 1974 quilters newsletters. So much fun to look at. So much fun. You know, those early years, there's just such traditional quilts, but it doesn't take long until Quilter's Newsletter just gets in. As soon as there are quilts around, I feel like that's like their focus in a lot of ways. It was interesting to me. If I ever collect the full, all however many issues there are, it'd be interesting to collect the 70s and the 80s. I don't know if I'll do that, but theoretically it would be interesting to do, to see how it evolves into the more art quilt thing. So thank you to Ruth. Thanks to Quilt and Jenny. So good to hear from her. Thanks to Jenny and Oz. And I don't know, Jenny, did you... You may have seen all of Wolf Hall. Oh, no. She's in Australia, and she says it hasn't come. So you did not see the last episode. Such a good series. You guys, if you haven't watched, go to PBS Online and watch. Because Mark Rylance, who is the main character, Cromwell... He's just a tremendous actor. Just watch an episode just to watch this man act. Heard from Kate from Quilting Daydreams. Yay. So good to have Kate back in the mix. She's busy. Can't podcast right now, but it's just good to hear from her. And I think I was listening to Quilting for the Rest of Us, and she had commented over there. So she's back. Yay. Heard from Gayla C. She was enjoying the podcast while she was working. Gayla, that's what I like to hear. Got a beautiful, very long comment from Bobby from Colorful Colorado, who, by the way, commented before she'd actually listened to episode 164, the Stitch Twerker episode. See, that's okay. I just like hearing from you, even if you haven't listened. She also, there's a lot. You can go to the comments and read. Lots of really interesting stuff, but another affirmer that Kona phrase way too easily, way too frustrating. She has a quilt store about 30 miles away that carries American Made brand. She's put it on her list. We're making a statement via this podcast. We are American Made brand girls. Maybe. Heard from Kelly V, who enjoyed the rain. I know now I feel guilty sometimes, Kelly, when it rains around here. I wish I could send it to you. I just do. Heard from Bermuda Girl, who is back after a little bit of a hiatus from her sewing machine. She's back to her quilty podcast. She's like me. I listen to my quilty podcast when I'm sewing. I have not sewn a lot in the last week, and I'm not sure why. You know, I had a school visit last Tuesday. That always throws me off. It just throws the whole week. I'm just like, what am I doing? I don't even know. I'm in one of those places where I'm getting very little done, which maybe is okay. Maybe you just need to be in those places. In any event, good to have you back, Bermuda Girl. Good to hear from Creature Comfort Quilts, who doesn't know if she loves what she loves more on the star quilt, the colors or the quilting. Ah, aren't you lovely? Heard from Laura, who says, my basket handle looks fine. Got affirmation on the basket handle on my basket block. Thank you, ladies. And she talked about in her comment how one of her sisters taught her and her other sisters how to weave real baskets a few years ago. It got pretty intense. I bet it did. I think real basket weaving, I've watched it, you know, I've watched demonstrations, and it looks really hard, and it looks like it's possibly painful. Like, you could get seriously cut by the reeds. Laura says she uses the Eleanor Burns half square triangle trimmer, which I think I have, but I don't know if I use it. Obviously, if I used it, I would use it. I would know. I'll have to check on that. Heard from Sherry D. As you know, we are quilting along on the Dresden plate. Join us. Got a nice comment from Very Lazy Daisy, who I know is very busy Daisy right now with a child graduating from high school. Big times, good times, I hope. But Daisy, we need to hear from you. Talk to me. Talk to me, Daisy. And finally, got a very nice comment from Charlotte, who likes the Big Star quilt. She called it gorgeous. Ah! And she said, I would have felt torn giving it away. I really do. I miss it. I should probably go visit it. Anyway, thank you, everyone, for your comments, for your emails. Let me hear from you. Sorry, by the way, that this is a little bit late. I really need to get into the 10-day habit. I think if I post, like, every week, like the way that Pam does, I think I post too long for that, and then people don't have time to listen to comments. I live for the comments. I just do. All right, let's move on to the Quilt Diaries. Quilt Diary Day 1. It's May 5th, Cinco de Mayo. For those of you who are native Spanish speakers, such as myself. I don't speak Spanish. I took it in high school after several years of taking German with the meanest German teacher ever, Herr Rose. Turned out he was part of the Hitler Youth. I was in Germany when I was taking German with Herr Rose, and that's something that we learned about him later, and it came as no surprise to me. He loved my brother, my older brother, who was a very good student, very dedicated. He did not love me as much. Anyway, we came back to the States. I'm like, I'm taking Spanish, which I liked, but I don't really speak. The man speaks it a little bit. And in fact, he's working on a documentary right now. He's taking a class through Duke's Center of Documentary Studies. The class is called Small Town USA. And every semester, the teacher picks a new small town, which is roughly within 90 minutes of Durham, one way or the other. And this time, the small town is Robbins, North Carolina, best known for producing John Edwards, one-time presidential candidate or vice presidential candidate, I guess. Maybe he was a candidate, too, at some point. I don't know why, but he's from Robbins. He lives in Chapel Hill now. His kids go to my kids' school. You see him at parents' night. He was a very good-looking man, and he's not bad-looking now, but he looks like he's been through the ringer, which he has been, but he still has that charisma that just some people have. It's fascinating. I've never met him. I don't have a desire to meet him. I just like looking at him going, huh. In fact, did I ever tell you? I may have told you all of this before, but if I did, it was years ago. One of the most interesting parents' nights that I attended, it was in the middle school. Elizabeth Edwards was still alive, although she was very ill. And I, for some reason, was standing on the stage. It's not a big auditorium. It's a very small auditorium. I was talking with the PTA president about something that I needed to discuss with her. And I looked up and I see John Edwards sitting next to some sort of an assistant with a clipboard, then a chair, a seat, and then Elizabeth Edwards sitting next to an assistant with a clipboard. So they're both there for parents' night. Clearly not together, but not like sitting at opposite ends of the room. Anyway, that's like my most People magazine moment ever. Anyway, Robbins, North Carolina, is now half Hispanic, and so the man has been going down there a lot. He gets, you know, he does this stuff, and it's great. He gets really, really into it. And at the same time, you're like, okay, you're making a 10-minute documentary for class, and that's great, and it will be the best documentary that anyone does in the history of this class, I have no doubt. And that's true. I don't have any doubt. He's very talented. And at the same time, it's like you will, between now and the time the video is due, the documentary is due, will put in about 3,000 hours on it. He really will. He just gets into stuff. He's such a guy. But in any event, Robbins these days half Hispanic, so a lot of people that the man's talking to, and what he's talking to people about, what his documentary is about, is how people in a town like Robbins survives. It's a very small town. It's got a population of 1,200. There used to be some sort of manufacturing concern there, and it's gone. It's gone overseas. I mean, this is the story of small town America now. There's nothing unless you make something happen. And so he's talking to people who started their own business. Like, he talked to a taxidermist the other day and has some really disturbing footage of an albino deer wrapped in clear plastic. It's like really cool, but I don't really like to look at it. The man's like, oh, this is going to make the movie. And I'm like, yeah, it will make the movie. It's an exceptionally disturbing image that will make your movie, honey. But he's also, he talked to the taxidermist. He's talked with the woman who's on the town council, who started her own restaurant. And just talking to people, like, how do you survive if there's no business in your community? One of the people he interviewed is a baker who is... who immigrated from Mexico some time ago. I mean, that's the thing. It's half Hispanic, and it's been half Hispanic for a while. So these are no, you know, Johnny come latelys, Juan come latelys, whatever you want to say. This is a community that is well established in the area. And so the man interviewed this baker and bought a lot of baked goods that I did not need in my house. This man, William Guillermo, did not speak English. The man's Spanish is good enough so he could interview him and pretty much understand what was being said. But then he got a friend of ours, Carla, who was born in Chile, whose father is Chilean. Her mother is like a DAR kind of, that's Daughters of American Revolution. Most of you, I'm sure you know that. Junior league kind of southern girl from Wilmington, so it's a very interesting combination. Anyway, but she's fluent Spanish. Carla is a former immigration lawyer who's a fluent Spanish speaker, and for a bottle of wine she interpreted. After the man came home, he sent her the footage, and she spent 20 minutes writing it down, or maybe 2 hours, I don't know. But now she gets production credit. So anyway, so we're all about the Spanish speaking now. And now the man's walking around speaking Spanish all the time. He's decided that's the thing to do. We should all speak Spanish constantly. I don't actually speak Spanish, as I think I've said, although I took it. But why not? Spanish is cool. I like it. That's what's going on around here. We're living with an obsessive documentary filmmaker. I myself am obsessing about the Dresden Plate quilt. I have started it. I am 3 plates into it. I have just made the petals, the plates themselves, which I talk about in terms of petals. Each plate has 16 petals. These are big blocks. They're going to be big blocks when they're put together, 16-inch blocks. Sherry D., the fabulous Sherry D. Walker lady, had sent me a bunch of Dresden Plate patterns earlier in the year after I talked about wanting to make a Dresden plaid quilt. And I think she is going to play along with me and make a quilt herself, a Dresden plaid quilt. And she's talked about trying to get a group of people to do it. Now, I just don't know how many people would be interested in doing Dresden plaids. I also know I am not organized enough to organize a quilt along of any sort. I mean, mug, rug, anything. I do not have the bandwidth. I was going to say right now, but actually ever. I can't do that stuff. You know, I will contribute to when the twilters are making a quilt for one of their own. I can contribute a block. That's about it. So anyway, I need to email Sherry D tonight and say, run with it, baby. But I don't know. Do you want to make a Dresden plaid quilt? It's very fun. I have to tell you, I went out to Thimble Pleasures on Saturday and bought a quarter yards of 30s fabric. 30s reproduction fabrics, which I like a lot. I'm not going to say, wow, I just love them more than anything, but they're fun and they're cute. And I thought, you know, I'd like to use 30s productions since I am 1930s quilt girl right now. It seems appropriate to use these fabrics. I will say that when I started out, so Saturday night, I started cutting out petals and I thought, I'm just going to do this totally scrappy. Like, I've got 16 petals. I'm going to do them all different colors. Not that I actually had 16 fabrics to work with, but it's like, I'm going to do as much, just make it as scrappy as I can. But I'm going to tell you what, with these 1930s repro fabrics, mostly it's very small prints, right? It's little teeny-tiny flowers and little children pulling their wagons and little geometric figure, you know, triangles and polka dots. And if you get too scrappy with it, you've got all these small teeny-tiny prints next to each other, and it's like ants crawling everywhere. I cut out, like, let's say 32 petals from all the different fabrics I'd gotten. And I put them up on my design wall. I was just like, oh, it's like just ants are crawling across my design wall. It's too many tiny prints. And the scrappiness really was just overwhelming. So what I ended up doing was deciding 2 prints per plate. Right now I've done 3. And 2 of them are very contrasty. The petals really contrast. The different prints contrast with each other. The colors do. One of my, and I love this block actually, it's the one that looks most 1930s to me, is 2 different turquoise blues. One that is really actually white with a turquoise print, and the other, which is turquoise with some red and white. And there's very little contrast. In fact, I was messing around. Now that I've discovered I can take pictures with my phone in black and white, which is very handy when you're thinking about contrast. And it's interesting because I took pictures of the high contrast plates, and they are high contrast. And then I took pictures of my turquoise plate, and you can barely see the difference. But it still looks good, and apparently this works with the 1930s aesthetic. That contrast was not necessarily as valued in these quilts. So I figure I can just do anything I want. Just no ants. I can't deal with the ants marching across my design wall. But it's fun, you know, and it's such a process. So Sherry had sent me these different patterns, and the one I chose conveniently came with a thick piece of plastic printed with templates. So I have my own thick plastic petal. And so you iron your fabric, and then you trace the petal onto the back of the fabric, and then you cut it, and then you sew the petals together one at a time. Well, sort of, you know, exponentially, one at a time, then 2 sets of 2, then 4 sets of 4, and then 1 to 1, whatever. But anyway, But it's really a process, but it's not, yeah, I was thinking, in some ways it's not any more complex than any kind of block, right? It's just more hand cutting than we're used to. You know, I'm used to, you know, stacking. I don't really stack and whack. I really kind of hate that whole idea of stack and whack. But I do, I mean, let's face it, we all do. Particularly, I feel like it's been a long time since I've worked with any pre-cuts. And I see them, like when I went to Thimble Pleasures, there was a couple beautiful sets of Moda jelly rolls. There's a line, and I think it's called Persimmon, which I really very much love. But you know, I just don't feel like I'm doing that now. I feel like I need to cut my own fabric. I've got my own ideas. I've got my own thing these days. But in any event, so I think, you know, block per block, I don't feel like these blocks are taking exceptionally long to do. Because I think once you have the petals drawn, that's the to me, that's the most time consuming aspect of it. But sewing them together goes very quickly. Now, the question is how will I attach them to the blocks? Will I hand applique? Possible. You know, I've been doing yo-yos. And I enjoy that handwork. I enjoy what I believe they called in the old days as finger sewing. That's all I can figure out. When I see the phrase finger sewing, I think that must be what hand sewing was. And this, you know, and by the 20s and 30s, you know, people used sewing machines. You know, I mean, people were getting sewing machines in the 19th century, although I think there was more for garment sewing. But nonetheless, I was reading something from the International Study Group, one of the lecture. I was reading the text of one of the lectures, and there was a discussion of sewing machines and looking at the quilts in the collection of the International Quilt Study Center. I think like half of them from that era were machine pieced. Now, they were hand-quilted, and, you know, people in the 30s, here we're talking about 30s parallels to the teens of the 21st century, people sent their quilts out. They didn't send them to long-armers, they sent them to quilters who oftentimes charged by the spool of thread. So maybe would charge you a dollar for every spool of thread used. Now, I don't think the spools cost a dollar, but I think that was just how they measured how much work it took to quilt a quilt. So it's a figure that I see from this time. Like, I charged $8 for that quilt. You know, so it was a lot less expensive to send. And I do believe, I think these women were hand quilting the quilts, and I think it was in some areas it was a cottage industry, so you might send your quilt to a group who quilted it, you know, a group of women who quilted it for you, which, you know, many hands make light work. So anyway, all of that, I've wandered in my mind. Can you hear all the wonderful noises? It is Cinco de Mayo, and it's evening, and I'm sitting here on the porch with Travis. The man is at his class, documentary filmmaking class. Lord knows where Will is. Jack, I'm sure, is on his computer, because that is where Jack always is. But Will has a lot less computer time than Jack does, because he's younger, and when Jack was Will's age, Jack didn't have very much computer time. It's very hard when you have kids who are almost 4 years apart, because they're such different stages, and yet the younger one feels like he should have everything the older one has. And the older one finds the younger one quite irritating. Okay, so that's why. So working on the Dresden plate, finding it satisfying. So far, not finding it that difficult. Wondering how I'm going to put the blocks together. I'm having a hard time imagining fusing the petals to the block. I don't even know what color fabric I'm going to use. I did send away, by the way, for the American-made fabric. I don't know, what is it called? I want to say sample card, which is not quite right. But it is a sample card, so it's got all the different fabrics in the solid line. And I'm really looking forward to seeing it. And ordering some fabric that is not Kona solid fabric, ordering some solids. But will I do this on white? I might, because you know I really like white. Don't think I would do it on gray, and I'm not sure what other color I would do it, you know, would do it on, what other color blocks. I'm already thinking that I'm not going to sash. You know, it's like, yeah. Sashing, so, you know, and I've talked about this quilt that I need to finish the blocks on my grandmother in grandmother's garden, which is not the same as grandmother's garden. It's not a hexy quilt, but that block of the month quilt that I have, I think, 2 blocks left on. And it will, without a doubt, require sashing, as I'm assuming my sampler quilt will as well. Those blocks just need to be separated. But there is something about sashing. It's a little 80s. You know, I mean, it's a little, you know, 1880s too, maybe, but certainly 1980s. There's something about sashing. Obviously, it can be done in very fabulous ways, and I'm not saying, and so therefore I'm against it, but I'm not always for it, and I don't know that I will use it for the Dresden plate quilt. I've seen Dresden plates with sashing. I've seen them without. And I sort of like the idea of the plates existing midair on the plane of the fabric. We shall see how that comes to pass. But I could really see. So it's Tuesday. I've got 3 plates made. So I'm kind of doing a plate a day. So does that mean that I will have all the plates done in 3 weeks? You know, maybe, maybe not. You don't know with me. As soon as I say, yes, I will, then no, I won't. But I'm looking... I'm excited to be making progress. I'm excited to be enjoying myself in this process. So that is what we have going on with my projects, with the Dresden plate. That's where we are. If Sherry D gets some sort of quilt along going, I will certainly advertise it in this podcast and mention it on Twitter. And obviously, I am quilting along. I've already gotten started. Again, it's just one of those things where you're like, is that something other people would do? I don't know. I'm not used to doing things that other people enjoy doing all that much. But yeah, I'll let you know. I'll keep you up to date. All right. Well, I think that's it for now. I will be back with more reports of progress and more bird song. Little bugs. Hopefully a garden report sooner or later. I have weeded my flower bed. The man has planted corn. You know, I planted corn last year. First time corn ever really came up and thrived in the garden. And then a big wind came and blew it all down. The man has planted the corn much closer together. Planted more corn. We're going to have a lot of corn. Should it come up? I'm a little worried that maybe the man has a black thumb when it comes to corn. Don't know. But so that's what we've got in the big garden, and some tomatoes and some beans. I have my flower garden cleared, and I need to go to Stone Brothers downtown and pick up a few more perennials. Every year I put in a few more perennials, and then I'll go to Home Depot and buy lots of marigolds, because I love marigolds. I'm so common, but I do. I love marigolds. And then we'll see what else we'll plant in the big garden. Lots and lots of tomatoes, I hope, and maybe some squash. I mean, for growing corn and tomatoes, you ought to have squash for a little succotash. But hopefully more news about that soon. I shall return. Quilt Diary Day 2. It's Wednesday, May 6th, 2015. This will be quick. I'm on my way to the Apple store to see if they can fix my computer, my laptop keyboard, which only half the keyboard works, which is hard, you know, makes life difficult for anyone, but for your writer girl, especially. I'm using an external keyboard. I'm tired of that. So off to the store in just a second, but I had a thought and I wanted to share it with you because I'm thinking about my Dresden plate quilt. I have completed 3 plates and have 2 other plates ready to go, sew and go. And it's interesting because I keep everything up on my board, on my design board, which for those of you new to the world of the off-kilter quilt, or new-ish, is just a big piece of foam board that I got at Home Depot. It's probably, I'm looking at it right now, it's probably about 6 feet long and 4.5 feet wide. That's what I would give it. And covered with sort of a cream-colored flannel. And the great thing about having that is when you, of course, are working on a project, you can work in your, you can look at your work in progress. Yes, enunciate. I'm trying. Okay, so you can walk by and you can do the drive-by glance at your work in progress, which is important if it's something about it is bugging you and you can't figure out what it is. You really need that opportunity just to drive by, walk by, and let your subconscious go to work. Your subconscious will tell you everything you need to know. You just have to trust it to eventually come up with the idea. And essentially, you know, it's the kind of thing where you know what's wrong, you just kind of can't bring yourself to admit it. It's like a bad relationship, right? It's the bad boyfriend thing. Not the bad boyfriend, the boyfriend you're not in love with boyfriend. Anyway, one of the plates that I've made is, it's charming. It's lovely. It's one of the fabrics is an orange print. Of course, this is 1930s fabric. And the other is a blue with white and red daisies. The orange, I think, has little puppies on it or something. It's all very 1930s. And it looks great, but it doesn't look great with the other stuff. It's a little too masculine, perhaps. You know, I think I'm just, which is what I'm saying, it gets a little too dark. The other plates I've got going are, you know, they're sweet, which may be a way of saying feminine, although I know a lot of sweet boys. But they are. There's something very pink about them. Even the blues have pinks. It's feminine. And that's fine. I don't mind a girly quilt. But that blue and orange plate, not quite looking like it's in the right neighborhood. We'll see, because I have more plates to make. So it's not like it's a done deal. But I'm thinking, wow, yeah, I may have to go invest in some yellow fabric. Sort of 1930s yellow, light pastel yellow. But and some other light blues, because I don't want an entirely pink and red quilt, which we could veer towards pretty quickly. So I want some more colors, but I think this is going to be a light pastel. I mean, I think what we're talking about is a pastel quilt, which is quite appropriate in 1930s terms. And since I'm thinking 1930s here. Now, the other thing, and this is actually what got me to take up the recorder. Can you tell I'm moving through my house? Because now I'm in the L, the quilting L of the house, and their hardwoods, as opposed to when I was in the living room of the house that's carpeted. So just different acoustics. In any event, I was thinking about the fabric, this really lovely 1930s fabric that I got. I just got a bunch. I think I got maybe eight or 10 quarter cuts, not fat quarters, but quarter cuts from Thimble Pleasures. And it's, you know, and I really do. It's very cute. It's very sweet. The word that keeps coming to mind is sweet. It's very sweet fabric, and I like it. But you know, as I'm making these plates, I'm like, you know, it's not really me, right? And it made me think about shoes and how I like all kinds of shoes. I like wildly inappropriate shoes I cannot walk in and would not even try. It would hurt to try them on. It hurts to look at them. One of Jack's friends is this really great kid named Charlie. We love Charlie. And Charlie, his parents are divorced. And he lives mostly with his dad and stepmom, but also his mom. And his mom is fabulous. She's probably about, I have no idea how tall she is, because she wears the highest heels I've ever seen a woman my age wear. Totally. So I think she might be 5'1". At the tallest, but at the tallest, I'm not sure which. But she does. She wears fabulous shoes, and they're just high stacked shoes. And she walks really well in them. And this is the great thing. She's a professor at Duke Medical School. She's a nursing professor, and her particular field is oncology. So totally serious, smart woman. She dresses great.
I don't think that's very good grammar, but it's true. Just she's a great dresser, very fashionable, is very fun and funny. I like her tremendously, and I just so admire her shoes. But my knees start hurting as soon as I look at them. Anyway, so love shoes, but there's certain shoes, you know, shoes that I can actually walk in. But if I put them on, I don't feel like myself. I like good chunky footwear. I do. Most of my stuff is Dansko. I do a lot of clogs. I do a lot of slides, big chunky stuff. Just goes back to my 1980s punk rock youth. I like chunky footwear. And so if I put on a delicate lady shoe, I might admire it and like it. And I know it, you know, I might know that it looks good, but I don't feel like myself and it makes me nervous. So when I'm looking at the Dresden plate quilt, well, the plates, it's not even a quilt yet, it's just plates and petals, and I like it. I like what's happening. I love the plates themselves. It's just a fabulous pattern. But I look at the quilt, it doesn't quite feel like me. And I'm actually thinking about doing an alternate Dresden. And that's what I'll call it too. I should write that down, alternate Dresden, in which I use fabrics that really feel more like me, like, you know, and just do the whole modern traditional thing that we've got going here, a lot of us, right? But I do, I kind of like, I need to get fabrics that are more Frances fabrics. But it's so funny to look at that quilt and go, oh, that's so pretty. That's so sweet. It's like a shoe that makes me feel weird. But I'm going to finish it, and I do like it. I think it's going to be a great-looking quilt. But I do have that strong need, I think, that strong desire. Like, and while you're making it, make some petals that are like you, you know, that are chunky shoe petals. So maybe that'll be that. I think alternate Dresden is better than chunky shoe Dresden. But anyway, yeah. So I just had that thought, that it's funny to make a quilt. Whereas the, you know, the Big Star quilt, which I did not make for me, and is much more modern, although the star itself is a traditional star. I would have happily held on to that quilt, and I loved looking at it. I sort of miss it. And that did feel like me. And, you know, as did the mosaic quilt, right? And partly, you know what? Oh, maybe I should make a batik Dresden. Because, of course, you know, the mosaic quilt has all kinds of different fabrics, but it does have a lot of batiks. And ultimately, you know, my heart, you know, I heart batiks. So who knows? I don't know what I'm going to do, but I just thought that was funny. It's funny to walk in and go, yeah, interesting. You know, very pretty, very pretty. And yet feels like a quilt that someone else is making for someone else who's not me. So I just wanted to share that. Maybe you have some observations about quilts and shoes and being comfortable or feeling connected to what you're making, as opposed to sometimes going, yeah, this somehow doesn't really reflect my spirit as much as I like it. And I do like it. I'm enjoying the process. So I'm not going sour on my Dresden plate quilt. I'm really not. But it is a funny thing to go, oh yeah, whatever's going on in this quilt is not actually something that I connect with deeply. So, and I think it's really what's going on with the fabric. So food for thought, just throwing it out. And now, off to the Apple Store. More soon. Bye. Quilt Diary day three, I think. It's Wednesday, May 13th, 2015. It's a beautiful day. Mid-70s. Birds singing. I'm out on the porch. I hope Trav doesn't bark. Garden is starting to shape up a little bit. I bought some perennials, some phlox, and some coneflowers to put in. I'm trying to add, every year, add more perennials to my flower bed. And then, I don't know, maybe tomorrow or tomorrow night, I'm going to hop over to Home Depot and get marigolds and some other annuals. I'm very excited because several years ago, I don't know if it's three or four, the man put in blueberry bushes. I would say we've got maybe eight or nine. And it takes a while for blueberry bushes to get established and start producing fruit, but they are now. And there's lots and lots of blueberries, green blueberries at this point, on
our bushes. So this is going to be our year of blueberries. We also, a friend of mine grows a lot of raspberry bushes, and she gave us one when she was thinning out her bushes last year, and it seems, I don't know if it will produce this year, but it survived the winter and looks like it's doing really well. So maybe we will put in some more raspberries as well. Raspberries are one of those things that fresh, I think they're just divine. But I don't like raspberry flavored stuff. Like I don't like banana flavored stuff. I like real bananas. There's some things that just don't make that leap, I think, from real to fake. Where am I on things? Now, since I can't remember the last time I talked to you and what I told you about, this could be difficult. I'm just plugging away on the Dresden quilt, the Dresden plates. And I have done quite a few, maybe up to 8 or 9, and this is 16 blocks, and I have made one modern block. I am excited for this modern Dresden quilt that I'm working on. I've told you about that, haven't I? Have I told you? I'm excited thinking about how to put it together. I think it will be wonky in some way, or at the very least funky. And I now have a big new plan for my house, which has to do with Will's old room, which we switched around, I think it was last summer. His old room, which he was in for 12 years almost, is right flush against our walk-in attic, which gets really, really hot in the summer, and Will's room got really hot in the summer. So we finally switched him over sort of into the room across the hall that had been my study, but I don't use a whole lot. So we took out the chair in there and put in a bed. And we made his old bedroom a kind of study for him. But, you know, he doesn't use it. We got a foosball table last summer and put it up there. He doesn't use it. In fact, one of the things we're going to do this weekend is bring that foosball table down here on the porch now that the porch is livable again. And I think that we'll all play foosball. We all enjoy it. But just where it was, no one really got around to it. But what I want to do is paint Will's room, which is now orange. It's covered almost entirely with sports posters. And I've had the talk with Will about, you know, maybe taking the posters down. And he seems totally cool with that. And it will take at least a day to get everything off his walls, totally covered with stuff. Paint some very nice, soothing color. And get a futon couch in there. I love futons. I'm actually, I guess at this age, glad not to be sleeping on a futon anymore, but I slept on one for years and years. But the thought is to have that room function as a guest room, although we don't have a ton of guests. A lot of times when people come to see us, they stay in a hotel like my parents do. My friend Catherine and her husband Tom and their 4 children, when they come, they actually stay with another friend of ours, who's also a friend of theirs. We were all neighbors in our old neighborhood. And they've got a humongous bonus room, and the family just camps out in the bonus room, which runs sort of the whole length of the house. So every once in a while I'll have a friend come through and stay here. So they can stay there in on the futon couch. But obviously it can function as a couch. I just would like it to be a nice room. And I actually see my modern Dresden fitting in my whole idea, my whole sense of that room. A modern Dresden quilt will be very, very nice. So that's actually a big project. But I think we're going to have some projects this summer where the boys can help, particularly Will. Will does not want to go to any camps at all. No sports camps, sleepover camps, not at all. He's just totally not into that idea. And so I said, fine, but I was going to find stuff for him to do. I mean, I'm very happy for him to relax and go to the pool, and we'll go to the beach the way we always do. But there is stuff that needs to be done around the house, and he's certainly not going to spend the summer playing computer games. Have I already said this podcast? I might have. I hope not. In any event, he's going to be doing some painting and some cooking, which I think will help him with his eating. You know, he's a really picky eater. But I've been thinking about what needs to happen to this house. We have lived here now for 8 years, and we're just at that place where there's stuff that, you know, when we moved in, we did a lot. We painted, we replaced some carpets, we did any number of things. We put on the porch. The porch needs some work. It needs some new weatherproofing. The carpet really needs to go, but I don't know. There's some of the stuff we just have to figure out how we'll fit it into the budget. But paint is fairly cheap, so we're going to be doing some painting, me and Will. And I don't know if we'll start with that room or not, but we might. But that, I think that'll be nice. It'll be a fun project. It will kind of be nice to reclaim another room upstairs as kind of a grown-up, neat-looking room. The boys' rooms are both sort of just out of control. They're not out of control like you need to call and, you know, they need to be condemned or anything. But that's actually another thing we're going to do this summer. Jack's going to a camp for 3 weeks in Atlanta, and I think during that time we are going to paint his room, and he will have picked out some new furniture, I think just from IKEA, but we're going to do his room over as well. So that will be nice. Any event, I can't remember how I got to there, but modern Dresden plate. I was thinking, oh, that will be very nice. That will go in that room, my vision of that room. It fits in with my vision of the new room upstairs, the new study upstairs. So that's what I've been working on. I still have not heard from AQS. I wrote a letter last week, which probably should have gotten there Monday. And I called today, and this is the only second time I've left a message. I've called. The woman never answers her phone. So I called today and said, hi, I'm calling to follow up on a letter that I mailed you last week and explained who I was, and said, yet again, as I've said many times, I would really love to hear from you. I guess if I don't hear from her this week, what my next step might be is to actually call. When the next time I call, you always get a live person saying AQS and say, I need to talk to someone in publications, but I've had no luck getting in touch with Kimberly Tetreff. Is there someone else you can direct me to? Again, I'm fairly convinced that when you call AQS, you're getting someone sitting in her kitchen is redirecting your phone call to the voicemail box of whom you're trying to reach. But it's just a very bizarre experience. Very bizarre. This has been strange. But I am working on the book, which is fun. And I just got in the mail something I got from eBay, which is about 8 copies of Needlework Magazine from the 20s and early 30s. So that will be fun to read as well. But that is about all I've got to say at this point. And I actually would like to get this posted. I had hoped to get it posted by the end of last week, and it just didn't happen for various reasons. It's been a little bit busy, as the spring has been busy, but I had a school visit yesterday in Stokes, North Carolina, which is an unincorporated town, tiny, tiny place, tiny school, K-8, 400 kids. When they finish up with 8th grade, they're bused 10 miles north to some school because they just don't have enough people to support their own high school. Very sweet. Whenever I've gone out to the eastern part of our state here in North Carolina, the children are so nice, and everyone's just really nice. There's absolutely nothing in Stokes. I say, well, so where do you guys go out to eat? And they're like, well, we go to Greenville. But the fun part of this visit is in the afternoon. In the morning, I gave a couple talks, which is fine. And again, these were nice kids, and even the 8th graders were nice, which isn't always the case. I mean, 8th graders are never mean, but especially 8th graders in spring, they're so uninterested in what you have to say, and you look like their mom, and they just don't really have the bandwidth for what you're going on about. But these kids were sweet. And in the afternoon, I worked with the creative writing group. And this group I've actually Skyped with a couple times. That was kind of part of our deal, what I would do with the school, besides come to do a visit and do a couple presentations, but also do some Skyping with the creative writing students. And that was, the Skyping with them was fun, but meeting with them and working on stories with them was so fun because they were motivated. And what we talked about scenes. That's a really hard concept sometimes for young writers, that you have to actually set up scenes, that stories are built out of one scene and then another scene and then another scene, and they're all working on stories. So I said, all right, get out your stories, and I want you to write a scene into the story. Find a place where you've just been expository, you've just told something, then actually make a scene. And I thought that would be one exercise, and we would go on to do other exercises, but what we ended up doing was just sort of this workshop where they were writing and I was going around the room. There were probably 12 kids, And I was just going from kid to kid, and they would call me over, and I'd make suggestions, or they'd want to read to me what they'd done. And they did great. And there were some fifth graders, and there were some eighth graders, and everybody in between, and it was a really fun time. But getting ready for that and now recovering from that, I'm like, oh, my goodness. But that was my last big outing of the year, so that's nice. We're not very far shy of school being over. It's over June 2nd, at least for Will. I don't know when Jack's exams may go on through the 4th, but we're getting there, so that's nice. Anyway, that is my news. That is the news from Lake Wobegon. I'm going to go around and eat my tail and do the introduction, and I will tell you then what I'm telling you now is I've been emailing with Sherry D. Walker Lady, and we are going to do the Dresden Quilt Along. So if you're interested, I'm going to put the link to Sherry D's website. She's really doing it, but I'm advertising it, and I will keep you up to date on my progress. And, you know, even if what you do is maybe a modern Dresden, which instead of being the big full traditional quilt with 16 blocks, but you know, do 6 or 8 blocks with really cool fabric, it's worth doing. It's a cool looking block. It's a neat skill to have if you're looking to practice your applique. And I don't know. It's fun to quilt along. Again, I'm not good at organizing things. I think I'm irritating Sherry already by just sort of me going, huh, what's going on? And that's why I don't really do quilt alongs, but we're doing a quilt along for this. I fully support it. And I think Sherry D is probably going to do a great job. And she is shooting for, I think, 2 blocks a month, which is a pretty slow pace. So it's something that you could do just while you're doing all kinds of other things too. So go to the link. It's on my show notes. And then go check out Dresden Plate Quilt Along over with Sherry D. I think it could be fun. All right. Well, you know what we say. Life is short. Quilt first. See you next week.